The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Visor guy inside the First Midwest Bank studio, my guy Tom Waddle.
Demetrius Harris, come in. I want you to run a go route.
Jimmy Graham, take a seat in the red
zone. Jimmy, stand over here by me.
Allen Robinson, we're going to run the play opposite of you.
Yeah. That's just too easy.
Look, listen,
I'm beyond my angst. Day after, I have angst. The day after, I'm optimistically, or I'm hopeful that improvement is on the horizon.
See, this is exactly what I told you about on Monday.
Yeah.
It's like when you get the worst hangover of your life. It's when you
go out
and party.
That's every time I drink now.
Well, you throw up. You may bang your head on the front stoop or something like that.
Yeah.
You may swear that you never drink again.
Maybe the back of your head hits the stoop, not the front of your head.
Okay, then the next thing you know, a week later, you're like, all right, pour me a little.
I never met any. Nobody I run with has ever said, I'm not drinking ever again. Nobody I hang with.
You know that. We've all said it. You know, we've all been over the toilet, and we've all said, this, I'm done.
Yes.
Never again. I'm not drinking again. And then, like, a week or two later, we're like, hey.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like to be a Bears fan, and that's what it's like as the days peel off the calendar, leading to the next game, really fooling ourselves, thinking that they're going to solve this problem for 30 games.
Yeah, I'm not going to careen from one guardrail to the next. I'm not expecting all of a sudden things to just magically get better. I'm just saying I'm hopeful to see improvement. Like, improvement is not setting the bar very high. So, like, I'm not expecting all this to get solved Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. I'm just saying I have a day of angst, expressing my angst, and then I turn my attention to hopefully finding ways to get better.
What's the fool me once cliche?
Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, that's the Bush version of it.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
So this is
don't
like,
mess with Texas.
I would think that the Matt Nagy's probably his worst game. Would you say the worst game of his career happened against the New Orleans Saints a year ago? They're coming off the bye. They say they're going to fix the run game.
Yeah.
They give up on the run on Walter Payton Day. They lose to a team that is not playing Drew Brees.
Or Alvin Kamara,
and you are hosting the New Orleans Saints, right?
I think that you could say that was the low light of the 2019 season. I mean, like,
well,
look, there were
other.
Here
we are again. Yeah. Looky. Here we are again.
I almost puked in my mouth right there.
So what are they going to do? And they could be without Michael Thomas. Now, the Bears could be without some of their guys with Allen Robinson. If you just got to your radio, Allen Robinson is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
It shouldn't surprise you because of him leaving the game and not returning.
Well, I'm not one for building drama. I'm not picking the Bears to win this game. Like, you may talk yourself into a W by Friday, as you're apt to do sometimes.
Yeah,
but, like, I'm...
Right.
I'm not. I am firmly both feet in Missouri right now. You got to show me. You got to show me until this is a 4-2 Saints team that isn't as good as Saints teams of years gone by, but it's a 4-2 Saints team that is averaging 30 points per game. They're giving up 29 points per game, but they've won 3 in a row. They're balanced on offense. They're running the football. They're not letting you get to Breeze. He's throwing it quick, and they're running. I'm just, you can't convince me that this is the week that the Bears find all the answers to their offensive problems. Like, again, I didn't think Sunday or Monday night was the defense's finest hour. But you know how I feel about this defense. I'm not going to rail on them. Yes, I can and walk and chew gum, and I can point out things that aren't great for them. But I'll ride with them, consistently ride with them.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get embarrassed Sunday on the lakefront by this Saints team. I'm just like I'm not looking at this as a game where all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I think the Saints are the elixir that will solve all that ills the Bears offense.
The phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. We had full phone lines all show yesterday. If you did not get in, or if you want to get in again, be our guest. We always love taking your phone calls. The Tony La Russa rumor and steam continues to go forward. The significance of today is that the World Series is over, and now you can talk to A.J. Hinch. Major League Baseball, a lot of times, too. Like, even though you could talk to Tony La Russa during the World Series, they discourage you from making any announcements or hirings during their premier event. And now maybe they could jump and be ready to move forward with some sort of an announcement. We could get news anytime, whether it has to do with any of the managerial stuff. So, you know, make sure you're always connected with us to get the latest on that. We'll talk about the World Series, too, last night.
Wasn't there a story that just came out on the Twitter machine that that La Russa asked Dave Duncan if he'd be willing to join the staff on a full-time basis, and he said no thanks?
Is that what the latest is?
I believe.
Well, I know Bruce tweeted earlier about him contacting people. Now, Dave, what's the latest with Dave Duncan? Because Dave Duncan did sign up with the White Sox as a pitching consultant, right?
This is from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Okay.
From 15 hours ago. Rick Hummel. If La Russa goes to the White Sox, sidekick Duncan will not be along for the ride.
Well, that if you don't want La Russa, that could be good news.
Right.
There.
That's why I brought it up.
Because we have the Chris, if you could dig up that soundbite from Tony when he was talking back in February about how he once flirted with coming back. And my key takeaway from that is that he said he would not do it without his old crew. And he mentioned Dave Duncan.
And
his he's old too, isn't he?
I'm old. Yeah. Dave Duncan's got to be early 70s, right? 75-year-old Dave Duncan.
Yeah, and La Russa's 76. A lot of people on my timeline swearing that if they sign La Russa, they're out.
No, they won't.
I've got
be.
Multiple well, people no. saying they're out.
That's
Sylvie,
silly.
You said that if you don't want La Russa, that implies that there are people that do want La Russa.
People, there are
Who?
Some.
Who?
Okay, well, I don't know if they're contrarians, but I'm getting the stuff on my Twitter machine about, you know, you're too hard against La Russa. This is a champion who has managed players his whole life. He's a Hall of Famer.
Adam, remember,
Jack McKeon did it. Connie Mack did it at this age.
Remember,
blah,
Adam,
blah, blah.
We asked a Twitter question before.
No,
is money
I know.
Good?
Is money
we got,
good?
We got people who said no.
But I guess maybe it's just my Twitter timeline. But I haven't seen any single White Sox fan, cat, dog, bird, all that good stuff that wants La Russa to manage the White Sox.
I think it's also the anti-A.J. Hinch. It's the opposite of A.J. Hinch. It's the people who don't like him
Cheer.
Being involved. I got called names last night when I tweeted right after the game went final. I said, look, now's the time. Call A.J. Hinch.
Well, you stay out of White Sox business.
I mean,
that's
right.
Just we've established that.
Yeah, but people were, I got one tweet left. I lost all respect for you, Sylvie. On the A.J. Hinch.
That's
well,
what did it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it took that tweet.
All these years
late
of
the
all
party.
My dumb takes and all the stupid things I've done and said. A simple tweet about the White Sox hiring a World Series manager? Because he looked the other way when it came to the banging on the garbage cans.
You said garbage cans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a pass on that. That's me, though. Like, I'm going to give you a pass on that.
I made it a Twitter poll, too. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at ESPN1000. There's a few, because the Bears one is still up with Pace and Nagy, or I think it just went final. I'll give you results there. Do you believe the White Sox will hire Tony La Russa as their manager? So this isn't about, you know, do you think they should, or do you want them to? This is about, do you believe they're going to? Like, and I would, Abdallah, do you have an alert on Bob Nightingale's Twitter handle, too? Usually,
I'm watching. Listen, you know one thing about Adam. You know a lot of things about Adam.
You're dialed into
but
Bob
I'm not,
Nightingale.
I'm not getting got. So
right.
if there's a shake at the stick, if you will, I will know about it. And I will know whether it's a fake shake or a real shake. I almost I almost slipped there.
Nightingale's tight with La Russa. Nightingale's tight with Reinsdorf and Kenny.
So, I'm going to vote no, that he will not get the job. I think in large part because I just don't think that's going to happen. The Dave Duncan news, I think, kind of feeds that perspective from me. I think obviously it was real. It has been real. I may be wrong. He may be hired. But if you the ultimate litmus test, if I put my money down, it would be on no. Where's your money?
Yeah, I'm saying still no. I believe it's old man love. I'm getting a little more worried. But I believe that we will get in the next 24 to 48 hours, hopefully, we will get a memo that says, from the desk of Tony La Russa, I am honored and flattered to be considered for the White Sox managerial opening. My friendship with Jerry Reinsdorf goes back many, many years. And while I believe the future is bright for the Chicago White Sox, my days as manager is done. I thought long and hard, and I considered this. He's still married, right? Is he married?
I don't know.
I talked to my wife about this.
Married to the game.
Yeah.
And while I have been married to the game for 60 years of my life, I value right now my marriage with my wife, Blank, and my grandchildren.
How long has he been married to Blank?
I don't know. This is the memo we're going to get. And Jerry's going to let Tony bow out. Tony, take the bow.
No, that's
Tony,
not an old
take
guy.
The curtain call.
No.
Tony, yes, the ball's in his court because Jerry wants it to be. It's his dying wish that Tony La Russa, that he never should have fired Tony, never should have listened to Hawk Harrelson, and he wants one last curtain call
for
Tony
La Russa.
Yeah, but
that's not old guy memo. Old guy memo is, nope, ain't going to do it. Good night.
Well, yeah, plus you're also got to factor in, this is new guy Twitter we're talking about.
Right.
This is the age of passing. This is the age of getting out the characters, and so you can be first. So I don't think you're going to get a memo. I think you're going to get the White Sox have hired
he's faxing
Blank.
It. No.
We don't have a fax here anymore. No one's getting that.
It may be the
Pony
reason.
Express.
It may be the reason we
Where's
don't
Where's he at,
have.
Arizona? He's sending the note out on Tuesday. He'll get it Friday.
That's
and
what
we
I'm
know
saying.
He's not California. Savvy enough
horseback.
To take. He's not savvy enough to write in his notes and take a screenshot.
Yeah, the horseback.
What's a screenshot?
The carriage is in Oklahoma right now. You know, it's making its way to Chicago. And then we're going to get the announcement.
They got a pesky dust storm out there right now. It may slow us down a bit. We may have to pitch a tent. Hang out for a while, let it pass, and we'll be back. Yes, Black, I said pitch a tent.
And then we'll all laugh at this when this goes official.
Yeah, pitching. I got you. Baseball.
Nope.
We'll all laugh at this when he's named manager in 48 hours.
Do you think he'll pull a pitcher after 74 pitches in the sixth inning of an important game?
Some people have said that he was an analytical guy. Like, you've always said he's used it as a tool in the past. I'm pretty fired up about that. I know we can get into it. And did you see this, too, that Jesse just tweeted that MLB put out a statement that Justin Turner refused to stay in isolation? The league is launching an investigation. He put everyone he came into in contact with a risk. So
I think he probably is a candidate for a large fine, isn't he? What is the agreed to? I'm sure there is language in the bylaws and all that other stuff that they had to come to an agreement on, that if somebody did something like this, that there would be some sort of penalty. What is that penalty?
Yeah, we'll see. But they're publicly putting it out there now. Justin Turner, if you missed it, was taken out late in the game because he tested positive for COVID. And then he was celebrating with his team, including many moments without a mask.
How do you get I saw some people on Twitter asking this, and I had the same thought. Why is your COVID test result coming in the second inning of a game?
Well, I guess it was inconclusive.
But isn't an inconclusive test, isn't the appropriate and prudent thing to do if you're inconclusive is to not participate until you get a more conclusive result?
Well, they had him take a second one, and then when they got the results.
I know, but once you get inconclusive, don't you have to be cleared by a conclusive one that says negative before they throw you back out there? Wouldn't you think that would be the protocol?
If you're going strictly,
as opposed to, like, just think this through real quick. Like, okay, you know what? Johnny got a he got an inconclusive test. You know what? He's still playing third and batting third. We'll wait for the conclusive result. It should come sometime in the fourth or fifth inning.
And I'm not saying that this is right, but it is game six of the World Series. And now you may be sitting out a guy who may test negative.
I just wonder what protocol is and whether or not protocol was broken to do that. Like, if you get an inconclusive test, like, let's say this for this weekend where the Bears are hosting the Saints. If one of the Saints' important components comes in and has an inconclusive test, what is NFL policy? What is protocol? An inconclusive test, I would think, I'm no doctor, would rule you out until you could have a conclusive negative, wouldn't it? And that's why I'm just thinking common sense-wise. I don't know. I'm asking the question because I don't know what protocol is.
So a lot of plates in the air here. We've got that Justin Turner memo that just came out where they said he refused to stay in isolation. The Blake Snell topic about pulling a guy because the book says to pull a guy. We have the Tony La Russa story. And, of course, we have Matt Nagy to talk about. And I want to compare Matt Nagy's ego to Ryan Pace's ego. And if he's willing to go down with the ship, will this, if he doesn't give up play calling duties, will this expedite possibly his future with the Bears? And I want to bring up that stuff. If you want to participate on any of the topics we've brought up here, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Here's the statement from MLB. Waddle, I'm Justin Turner. Immediately upon receiving notice from the laboratory of a positive test, protocols were triggered, leading to a removal of Justin Turner's from last night's game. Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While a desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. The commissioner's office is beginning a full investigation into the matter and will consult with the Players Association within the parameters of the Joint 2020 Operations Manual. Quote, last night, nasal swabs were conducted on the Dodgers traveling party. Both the Rays and Dodgers were tested again today, and their travel back to their home cities will be determined after approved by the appropriate authorities.
Sounds like he's going to be punished.
Well, whatever is within the rule book of the agreement.
Yeah,
with MLBPA,
like I said before the break, I would assume that he has, based on the rules that the Players Association and the owners have agreed to, sounds like he violated said rules. And when you violate said rules, I think that there is probably...
He needs to be suspended.
A punishment that is...
And he may be.
On the
he
table.
Needs to be suspended. Because if you get back the second test and it's not a false positive, and he actually did have it or does have it now, you put the entire organization at risk. You put everybody's family members at risk. You put the commissioner of baseball at risk. You put all the entire staff and everybody there at risk because you wanted to go out and take pictures with your team.
Right.
Are you guys surprised that his teammates were so accepting of him just being around maskless for pictures and hugging and congratulating each other? If I knew that one of you had it and we were together, I would immediately remove
myself. Go in center
field.
Yeah, here's a couple bottles of champagne.
Go sit by yourself out in the outfield, soak it in from a distance.
You would have put yourself at risk by being in his presence without knowing it.
That was the argument. That's what many people countered with. He had already been exposed.
But once you are determined to be positive, the best thing for you is to stay away from everybody who isn't.
Of course.
Yes.
Socially distanced.
Correct.
And masked up.
My point is like the damage more than likely had been done prior to him getting out onto the field to celebrate, right?
It sucks, but like Danny brought up this morning, do you know how many people's weddings and graduations were canceled?
Yeah. No doubt.
Like, someone didn't get to walk the stage. Someone didn't get to go to school in their freshman year. Someone didn't get to do their weddings with all their loved ones. I mean, it's
didn't
terrible.
Get a chance this to attend a funeral. I mean,
yeah, right. Exactly. 332-3776. Dennis in Franklin Square. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how's it going? I just have a quick question here. Now that LA won the World Series, my preferred candidate was Dave Roberts here. Wow. Do you guys have any insight to why Ricky was canned? Because Rick Han, he didn't give a very good the reason he gave was ill-defined. Was Ricky against analytics or?
Ricky was against making good decisions with pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, when you take Rodon, who hadn't been in a bullpen since he was 10, and put him out there in a relief role, I think that was kind of questionable, wasn't it?
I think they had just an expiration date on Ricky, and then he had some bad decisions to begin with, and they're like, look, if you happen to win the World Series, if we're a year early, that's awesome for you, but once we know it's go time, we're switching it up. Because Rick Han kept mentioning an agreed-upon thing that they've had many, many discussions. And here we are in the same situation as the Cubs were in with a team on the brink. So,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, Dave Roberts, now that he's won the World Series, I would think is going to stay. And I think he wanted to bring up Francona, too. Francona is going to return. He had health issues this past year, from what we understand.
Right.
Gorman wants to talk some football. Gorman in Mount Greenwood. You're on Waddle and Selvey. What's up, Gorman?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
The only thing I wanted to interject was, I was a big Nick Foles proponent, and I still believe he's a better choice than Trubisky, all things being equal. So with that injury to the Bears' O-line a couple of weeks back, If you're the Bears, don't you have to go after somebody like Kevin Zeitler from the Giants or somebody comparable? I was looking around, and it looks like there's a handful of O linemen that might be able to help them with their shortcomings with the O line, because the season's not close to being over. Don't you have to try and patch it up and make a run?
Depends on what the cost is. If you're a good general manager, you're always looking to upgrade your team. There's no doubt about it, and there's no question that offensive line needs upgrading. So my brain would be open to any and all suggestions, Gorman, to be honest with you. I wouldn't rule anything out. I think it's difficult probably to execute a trade like that without overpaying.
Right, exactly. Like, do you really like Everson Griffin, we talked about yesterday, was traded for, I believe, a conditional sixth. If we're talking about conditional late-round picks, I'm cool with that. But if you're giving up a third or a fourth or something that, again, is going to where you're shorthanded again in the draft. Every year they're shorthanded. The last 2 years without the number ones with Khalil Mack, they were shorthanded that third round pick. And yes, you could trade back and make up, but you could do that too and stockpile draft picks,
right?
And build your core. I mean, I want a core built. I want something that is going to be sustainable, and I don't want to continue to patchwork this thing like bad teams in Chicago have done in the past, where you're paying $9 million for Jimmy Graham just because you've been so bad at filling the tight end position that you're patchworking it. You know what I mean? We continue to chase different stuff with no real solutions. I want some solutions.
Well, you haven't had them. As we detailed yesterday, the offense has struggled for 30 consecutive games.
Eddie in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Man,
if you say, like, Nagy does give up play calling, I feel like he'd be setting himself up kind of like a Boylan Hoiberg situation. Because if he gives it up to, say, Lazor, and Lazor runs his offense and it doesn't excel, it is what it is now, then that kind of makes us look at Nagy with a bit of a stink eye of questioning his system. But if, say, Lazor swaps in the better players instead of leaving Jimmy Graham on the sideline during that in the red zone, I feel like if his replacement makes his team look better, like, do we really need Nagy then?
If they're look, if they're winning and he makes the right choice and says, look, I'm not good for this. I'm better off as the overseer. I'm going to help game plan, but you're calling the plays, and they're better and they win, then you got to give credit to the head coach. We gave, like, Lovey was always chasing coordinators on both the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball.
Listen, I'm open to anything now that will help them improve. I'm just skeptical that there's going to be significant change if you give the menu over to somebody else. Like, again, I'm not against it. I don't know that that's the panacea.
Right.
Because
right.
They're all sitting in a room all week long. Like, he got rid of guys because they weren't his guys and brought in his guys. Do you think his guys, like, he's going to have input into what the game plan looks like. So they're going to be calling plays that Matt Nagy has input on whether or not they should be part of the weekly game plan. Like, I don't know why we would think that it would be significantly different if they're all from the same tree. They're just different branches.
Yeah, I want to bring something up that you said about Nagy. Like, could it, like if they go really south and they go 8-8, could jobs be on the line? And you didn't think so. And I just want to bring up a couple of examples. And if the ego and things don't turn around, if we could be talking about something big here. 332-3776 if you want to weigh in. We also had the press release for Major League Baseball with Justin Turner. We want to get into the Blake Snell stuff and Tony La Russa. It's all coming up.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I don't want to bring this up about, like, could jobs be on the line even though they've won, even though Matt Nagy's record is 25-14. I think making the playoffs will be interesting here. If they do, it will be less likely, but I don't think it will be like 100% that they, if things are bad in different areas. Like,
crazy, man.
Well, let me give you historical evidence. I mean, if you look within what the Bears have done recently with their coaching staff, they fired a coach who was 10-6 and their second winningest coach of all time in Lovie Smith. They fired Mark Trestman after 2 years. They fired John Fox after 3 years. If you look within the city and you look at what stubbornness has cost other head coaches who had winning records in this town, Tom Thibodeau, big-time winning record, fired. Joel Quenneville, 3 Stanley Cups, fired. Joe Maddon, not fired. His contract was not renewed after another winning season. He made the playoffs in 4 out of 5 seasons, and they decided to let him go. The White Sox just fired Rick Renteria after his best season in a playoff berth. Like, this is the recent trend in Chicago with guys who have won and won bigger than Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have all been let go for less.
Do you believe, if this team goes 9-7 or 10-6, which is probably the bottom end of the range, and gets to the postseason, so that would be 2 postseason appearances in 3 years.
Like in an Joe era, Maddon?
In an era of COVID, that they're going to...
Like Rick Renteria?
That they're going to fire him?
Well, Rick Renteria was in COVID. They're fine. Jim Boylan was in COVID. They're fine. You know,
well, Jim Boylan didn't take them to the postseason.
No, but COVID didn't matter that they went out and they hired Billy Donovan.
Well,
it didn't matter.
The Bears may look at it in a different manner.
They may, but I'm just saying that there is not precedent here in this city recently for saying that, hey, well, we can't get rid of a guy because of his record. Like, Cap was yelling at me about Pace because of the record. Like, his overall record for pace is not good.
Levy got fired not because he was 10-6. Levy got fired because they went to the postseason once in his last 6 years.
Right,
now, we can argue whether or not it was the right decision. Right. Levy had a great run here.
Well, it was a compilation of all of it. It was they started 7-1 and fell to 10-6, you know, winning three games in their last eight.
Look, I'm not arguing to keep them. What I'm saying to you is if you ask me to predict what will happen, if this coach goes to the postseason 2 out of 3 years, he ain't getting fired. He's just not.
But we've also talked about if they go 8-8 or if they go 9-7 that you don't think jobs will be on the line either.
I don't think that there will be. That's just my.
And I know the Bears are different. I'm not. But still, the Bears have also had shorter leashes when things start going poorly. Like, if you look at your offense and you're George McCaskey and you say, why is the cupboard empty? I've got Allen Robinson now in a walk here. And he's the only guy who's good. I've got an offensive line that has been thoroughly neglected. I've got no answer at quarterback, the most important position in all of sports. But I'm going to let this guy draft again. I've got an offense when I hire a coach who has gone 30-plus games with averaging 17 points per game. And I'm going to continue to let this happen? Like, that's not... We could dial it up with records and we can dial it up with lipstick, but I think in 2020 sports, there is a shorter leash. I think we saw it with Bill O'Brien, too. And I know you can say that the general manager in him, but his record was awfully good.
Yes, he went to the postseason 4 out of 5 years.
Right. Just like Joe Maddon, who now is working for the Angels.
Joe Maddon also won a World Series in his third year.
Exactly. And they got rid of him.
Well, 3 years later.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, I'm not, again.
He won three cups, and they still got rid of him. And these guys, what have they done?
They've done nothing. I'm
right.
Not arguing against your premise. Like, if they end up this season and they're the 29th ranked offense, so you've gone from 21 to 29 to 29, and you haven't been able to solve the offensive problem, I think there's, I said this to you beginning of the season, I think there should be change. I'm just telling you, I don't think there will be change.
Who is Ryan Pace's baby? Who does he love to swaddle and rock and burp and...
Cap?
No.
I mean, Mitch?
Yes, right? And he was very stubborn about it working. And a lot of people say it's not working.
I think it's easier to make... Dude, I think it's easier to make a case to fire them all than it is to keep them
all. Right, so Ryan Pace stayed too long with Mitch, and that's his baby. He doesn't want to let go of his baby. What is Matt Nagy's baby?
His offense.
The Denny's menu.
Yeah.
And he's being too stubborn, and he's going to want to swaddle it and rock it and tweak it and hell. And he's not going to want to give it up, and it's going to cost him in the end.
Dude, this is like total role reversal. You were in love with Visor Life, and I was trying to tell you that, like, Visor Life is not a real thing. And I'm not arguing to keep them all. I'm just trying to say to you, like, you put your money down. These are two questions. What would you do? What will they do? If we get to the end of the 2020 season and you've seen zero improvement from the offense and it looks as disjointed as it has all year and nobody has distinguished themselves on the offensive side of the ball, you can make a great case for starting over without a doubt. And in fact, it would be the way that I would lean. No doubt about it. The other question is what will they do? They're not firing a coach or a general manager that goes to the postseason 2 out of the last 3 years. I find it very hard. I'm sure you can point to an example. You gave some. I don't know if those are all apples to apples, but.
Right. Like Tibbs had a fallout with the front office.
Sure,
but
right.
He still went to the postseason every year.
Yes.
Hugh went to the postseason. You know, they got rid of him. He won a cup. Joe Maddon went 4 out of 5 years. He won a World Series. It wasn't enough.
Do you guys have your guts ready? Can I ask a question?
Do you got your gut ready,
Waddle? Sylvie, you got your gut? I've got my gut. Abdallah, you got your gut?
Got it.
Okay, we got our guts ready. Let me ask you this, Sylvie, because there's a lot of back and forth, and we can say the records, we can say this, the quarterbacks, you know, the amount of time, all this different stuff that you guys have laid out. Is the fit right?
What does your gut say about the head coach?
What is the head coach? Is the fit right? Because I think if your gut's telling you no, then once they miss the playoffs, boom, You're gone.
The counter to that is, would the fit ever be right with a crap offensive line like they've got?
Okay, so then your gut's probably telling you the fit with the GM is also not right.
Yeah. Well, you know that. Yeah. You know, I would fire him. The day the season ends, if I owned the Bears, if I was Ted Phillips, I would fire Ryan Pace.
Okay, so the guts in the room collectively, we're all saying that if you miss the playoffs, everyone's gone, right?
I would say I don't think it will happen. I still don't think it will happen.
Really?
But yeah. Well, what's missing? If you're 9-7 and you're left out because three teams from the West get in and two get in from the South, but like, I don't think they'll make a change.
Like Sylvie said yesterday, you were 5-1 though.
I get it. I'm just, you're asking me what I think they'll do, and I don't think they'll make that change.
Does the gut agree with the head?
Well, my gut tells
me. Are you going? Is this Blake Snell? Are you suddenly arguing Blake Snell here? Because you're forgetting a body part.
See, but listen, I have been. This has been my mantra now for a very long time. I've seen no progress with the offense. Like it goes back to, and I said this to people last year. It goes back to the last third of the 2018 season, where whether it was the league figured out Mitch, they figured out Matt, whatever the case may be, their offense took a dive. And it was up to the offense to make significant improvement in 19 because there was going to be regression on defense. Still a really good defense, but there's no way they could keep pace with the historic stats that they racked up in 18 with takeaways and sacks and all that other stuff. So for them to grow as a team, you weren't probably going to get past 12-4 as a record, but for them to grow as a team and be a team that could win a postseason game, their offense had to pick up the slack. What did they do? They pooped their shorts. Instead of getting better, they got significantly worse. There was no progress with the quarterback. So now you've had a group in place where the coach not only is in charge of the offense, I still believe he's also got a firm hand in the at least the offensive personnel decisions.
Sure.
And have you made
all his guys
have
now,
you made any more progress from the 2019 debacle? You're the same. In fact, you can argue the offense is worse.
That's what I'm saying. The more of his guys that he's gotten in, Jordan Howard, and I know we're both anti-Jordan. We were fine with saying bye to Jordan Howard, but yes. He told everyone, got to get my type of running back in. I got to get my type of offensive line coach in. I got to get my type of OC in here. I got to get my type of quarterback in Nick Foles in. And the more of his type things that have come, the worse the worse the offense has gotten.
I said it when the season began. If you remember, I said to you guys, if they don't get back to where they need to be and the offense doesn't improve significantly, there are going to be some really tough questions they're going to be asked. They're going to be very hard to answer, and you can make a case for significant change up there. They have gone 7 weeks in that direction. Their record is not indicative truly of who they are, regardless of what Bill Parcells has said for years.
Yeah, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6, some spirited debate. What do you think could happen here with the rest of the season? Because there are many parts, if you take away the 5-2 and you use your eyes and you look at what happened with Detroit and what happened in Atlanta and you look at what happened and almost happened against the Giants, like, and then you look at the numbers inside. Let's go inside. It's not pretty. So what could happen? We'll take all your phone calls and Dan Weederer at 3.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Don't forget, you can watch and listen to the show. Yes, I said watch. You get a peek of behind the scenes in the First Midwest Bank studio with Twitch. You can also react, and there's Waddle's big head.
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Look at all of the tall buildings.
Look at all of those tall buildings here in Chicago.
I just ran real fast.
The city with big shoulders.
We should get you to re-record that with like newer Chicago landmarks. Look at the Bean and not the Sears Tower anymore.
What are they calling it these days? I don't even think it's the Willis Tower.
Look at the fabulous mullets. The locks coming from the back of the helmet.
Careful there. Those are sharp. by the way.
They're sharp.
Very sharp.
Cut your hand.
Yeah, I think I cut myself on that.
I think the complexion in this is better than in real life, though. I got to be honest with you. Like, if you saw this and you compared it to my real complexion.
They pulled a Kardashian and they photoshopped that.
I mean, you still
thing.
Got some stuff. There's it's something on that. There's something on that left
filter.
Cheek. What is that on that left cheek? Is
that
mud?
Yeah, a little. You know, one of those things that is just barely coming to the surface and you pick at it while you're in meteorology class. And next thing you know, you got a giant volcano on the side of your face.
You're not supposed to pick it, right?
No.
Okay.
Don't pick it.
I thought you picked it and flicked it.
Not me. That's not. No.
That is another side good thing about the Twitch channel is Waddle constantly picks his nose throughout the show.
Not constantly.
It's all not brought constantly. To you. Well, it's...
Occasionally.
I'll go consistently.
No, no, that's not true. Yeah. In the era of COVID, I put my finger in my nose significantly less than I used to.
Your boogers are the equivalent of Cordero Patterson to Matt Nagy. You overdo it. A good nose pick every now and then is good.
Sounds a whole lot like my stopping off for a handle at Tito's before church analogy. It really does.
It's all brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Remember, when you sign up, use code WMVP.
I got to tell you, at the last break, I was just like, I was giggling. I was like, can you imagine a year ago? I got Sylvie yelling at me. They're going to fire everybody. Well, get out. No, everybody get out.
I see more of a body of work.
Last year, you were putting your visor on and you were strapping it in.
But a year ago, too, I looked back at some of the videos we were doing.
The show, schedule over your face like this. I go, hey, at 3 o'clock, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go, 3 o'clock, we're going to do Would You Rather. And then after that, we're going to do My Wife and Radio Partner. Be you, Sylvie. Be you today.
A year ago, I was yelling at him for not running the ball.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, now, 2 years ago, I had a statue in front of Soldier Field for him. It was just a visor. It was a bald dome with a visor around it.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, how cool is this? Not only is it freezing cold out, and he's bald, but he loves the visor, this guy.
Yeah. Who's the guy that had the pictures taken with Mason and Brax that you've taken off the wall? Who was that we
Mitch.
Saw?
Well, he never That's made right. the wall.
Oh,
Mitch
so...
never made the wall. We had it printed.
Okay.
Anticipating we would hang it.
So
the season happened and we never hung it.
Where's the picture of Matt with the kids now? Is it like hanging like sideways? Is it about to come down or is it already been taken down?
No, it's not on the wall.
Okay.
But Mason's taking a couple different pictures with Matt now. You once sat on his lap.
Right. Where's that picture now?
Yeah, at one point I was passing my kids to Matt Nagy like he was Theo Epstein.
Yes.
You're right
about
that.
And now he's passing those, kids in an odd fashion to some player that can't catch.
So over under pictures with Matt Nagy or how many times he runs the ball against the Saints?
I think you have ruined the Bears, to be honest with you. 1 year you give the kids to Mitch, done. The next year you give them to the coach, we got nothing left.
You stay away from Khalil Mack.
You keep those kids away from that team.
I did screw up with Luis Robert, too. I mean, I jinxed him, didn't I, with the can't miss stuff?
No,
now La Russa could be coming to town.
Yeah, you get the White Sox out of your mouth is what the guys are saying.
Phrasing.
I'm like Kevin Cash. I'm going to cool things down. Eli and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eli?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Oh, we're just great.
All right, so I appreciate some of the conversation in regards to Nagy. And, his baby is the offense. It's very clearly. And, his press conference yesterday where he talks about, the first thing he looks at is the giving up of the plays. That's a crack of garbage to me. He would rather, get fired before he gives up his baby, which is the offense and the play calling. And, the number one play on his play sheet is BU. And Matt Nagy loves his plays, and he ain't giving that up anytime soon.
I'm with you. I don't know that it's the right decision. I have been against it as well because I wanted him to prove to all of us that he could revolutionize this offense.
It's not like he's run these plays for 10 years. I mean, he called plays for six games in KC.
I know.
Tom and Huntley, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tommy?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
We're good.
I got just a couple points. Number one, I don't think it really even matters who calls these plays because that O-line, it has about the strength of a wet paper towel. It was horrific to watch this last week. And then my second point is Mahomes should be thanking whoever his God is that Ryan Pace is completely incompetent, because that kid's career would have been destroyed had we brought him here.
No, you're right. It's like, I still believe, and Waddle will tell you, he's a better option than Mitch. Mitch still had some moments. He still would have been really, really good, but it was the perfect landing spot.
There's no doubt about that. I would never dispute that. The one thing that always gave me a kick to the marbles was people that would say to you, you know, well, Mahomes wouldn't be Mahomes here the way he is in Kansas City. Well, okay, but that's not a salient point with regard to this conversation. The only important question with regard to Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson when we're talking quarterbacks is would either of those two guys be better than the one they picked? And the answer is definitively yes. More and that, to me, is the only question that's worth even talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who still argue to the death about Mitch being good and Cutler being good. And if you think they were good here, what do you think Patrick Mahomes would have been? Right. He would have been great then. You're going to battle with those two. All right, more of your phone calls, 332-3776. Dan Weider will take calls with us as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll continue to take your calls. And then Dan Weider on where does this thing go? Because he's been very down on what they've been doing offensively for weeks. People accuse him of being negative. We just say he's in reality, and we'll talk to him in 2 minutes.